I will strengthen thee with my right hand. I will uphold thee. Open that door. You hear me knocking. And it's not that we do not fellowship, but there are rooms you have not yet let me come in to your heart. For you fear for me to see it. But I'm the one who must see it, that I may cleanse even that place and heal your brokenness. Fear not, little flock. It is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not my eyes. Fear not my presence. Open the door to me. Open the door to every chamber of your heart. And I will come in. And we will fellowship together. Not only will you be helped, but you will be strengthened and sharpened and become more a weapon in my hand to bring light into this dark world. Fear not, little flock. Open every door wide to me, says your Lord. Whew. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Whew. Stacy, maybe just a little more. Wow. Glory to God. I got to recover a little bit here. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you. Oh, we love you. Shandala bakusini. Let a new song come right out of your spirit. Let your spirit rejoice in the Lord. Shore ande talabrato minke andire andore andore ande. Long kodre ande lo. Shandela laki ande la le frendolo brato me. Shandala laki ande re andore lo. Andala di qua. Shore ande talabrato minke. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.
We lift your name. We worship
your
love.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come up higher. Come up higher, says the Lord. For I have places of fellowship for you. For did not I say, if you knock, if you ask, if you seek, did I not say the door would be opened unto you? So as you open the door of your heart and allow me to come fellowship there, know this, knock at the door of my Father's kingdom. And you shall be allowed every chamber. You shall be allowed in every room. There are no secrets. You are my child, and all that I have belongs to you. Come, come up higher, says the Lord. Oh, I have things to share with you you have not seen. I have things to share with you you have not tasted. I have things for you that you have not understood. Come unto me, come up higher, says the Lord, and let us fellowship together. Woo. Glory to God. Well, it's... this is working, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I love you. Lord, neglect not the helper that I have sent. Neglect not the helper that I have sent. He has come to stand at your side and walk with you as I walk with you. Neglect not the helper. There is no obstacle he will not take you over. There is no obstacle he will not blast out of your way. There is nothing impossible. And I have sent the helper so that you would understand and walk and know and conquer, says your Lord. Neglect not the helper that I have sent. Whew. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I hear it again. I hear it again. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. With my own right hand, I will uphold thee. Fear not, fear not. The Lord is your helper. Fear not. The Lord is your helper. Whew. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew. Hey, this is a spirit-filled church. Let's pray in the spirit. We love you, Lord. Sing a new song. Sing in the spirit. Sing with the understanding. We love you, Lord. We glorify you and praise you and magnify you. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Have your way in this place. Oh, thank you. A new day. Did I not say, my mercies are new every morning? Hear this. I have new mercy for you. New mercy. My mercies are new every day. And I have new mercy for you. Call upon me. Call upon me. And even that most recent stain of the flesh shall be blotted away. Even that most recent stain where your garment was spotted by the flesh. Call upon me, and I will cast it into the sea, and I will remember it no more, says the Lord. And you and I will walk where your walk with me, and even you will know you have been washed whiter than snow, and there is nothing between you and I but love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Who is a God like our God? Who is a God like our God? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated for a moment. Obviously, I'm not in charge here. We'll see what happens. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew. Man, church can be fun. Did you know that? Church can be fun and exciting. And we haven't even begun to take a big old tall drink out of this tea glass yet. One person said one time, he said, I think when it comes, if what God has for us is like that, you know, on a hot summer day, what's better in Oklahoma than a big old tall glass of iced tea, you know? He says, I think compared to what God has for us, we have barely licked the top ice cube. Ooh, that was a nice lick there a while ago. I like that. Hallelujah. Okay. Whew. Trying to calm down here a little. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. Just going to get one verse. I kept hearing this and hearing this morning. He's putting in remembrance. This for me, this is an old teaching. This is something that he used, I think, before I even left the trucks to help my mind begin to understand what he was trying to get across to me. So please don't anyone be offended. I mean, I don't know what you're going through. If this seems really simplistic to you, just understand this is how he has to get it down for me, you know, to try and help me walk with him. But this word, this verse, I kept hearing the phrase one word today. I thought that may be the title. I don't know. Maybe one word from God. And this verse kept coming up in my spirit. 1 Kings chapter 8. And it's verse 56. Now this is at the end of Solomon dedicating the temple. And he turns then to the people and begins to bless the people. And he wants to put them in remembrance of something. And I want you to know the Lord today is putting us in remembrance of something. He said, now Solomon speak, and he said, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Now, if that was true concerning the words of God to Moses, how many of you think it would be true concerning his word through Jesus Christ? Now, we're going to look at quite a few verses, and that's okay. But you need these in your, not only for yourself, but you need these when people are struggling with sin, struggling with forgiveness, struggling with whatever it is. And their hope comes from one place. And that is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But see, faith is the substance of things hoped for. He told me years ago, he says, many are trying to get people to live by faith when the truth is they have no hope at all. They have given up on hope. They're just going through the mechanics. They're mouthing things with their mouth and they're saying things because that's what they've been trained to do. But if you could look on the inside, like I look on the inside, you would not find real hope there. See, our God is also called the God of hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and faith does come by hearing the Word of God. Let's go all the way to the beginning when you were a sinner. Maybe you didn't even know you was a sinner, but you came to one of those anointed Dave Roberson meetings, you know. And you found out you were destined for hell and didn't even know it. Maybe you did know it. Sue and I pretty well knew it. But the first thing, when whoever it was that preached the cross to you, the first thing that come into you was hope. I don't have to go to hell. I can go to heaven. See, that's hope. That's the first thing is what? Or what if you're, I could be healed. I could be provided for. Whatever it is, hope has to come. But then faith becomes the substance of that hope. And then eventually you'll have it manifested in your hand. This word. Yes, sir. I'm going to say it like I heard it. One word from God will change your life. One word. That's what he's trying to get across today. Let's look at some verses. Go to John chapter 6. It can also be found in Matthew 24. These are real simple verses, but that's okay. Our God wants us to have it. I'm not interested in preaching difficult messages, and I don't mean this. I appreciate it, what Alan's doing, how the Lord's using him to dissect us a little more where we understand more what's going on. Don't get me wrong. But the end result, when that's all finished, you're going to be a different person because your understanding is going to be different, see? Amen? Sometimes it's the simplest things that help us the most. Now, this message today, when I get to it here in a minute, this is how he used it with me years ago. Don't get mad at me if it seems too simple. He has to get it simple for Gary. Anyway, so not one word of his good promise has failed. Can I get any witnesses? Now, he said that about Moses, but look what Jesus said about his words. John 6:63. Jesus speaking. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. Now get this. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. When you read the Bible, see, and it's not just the red letters. The red letters, of course, are what he in the flesh spoke. But Jesus is the Word. He is the Logos. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega. He is the complete Word of God. This Word is more than words. It's more than black ink on white paper. It's more than a voice in your iPod or your phone. These words, everything, I did this a week or two ago, everything that is, that chair you are sitting in. See, John starts it off. He says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. Him who? The Word. All things were made by Him, and without Him who? The Word was not anything made that was made. That means everything. Everything. That chair you're sitting in, the very elements that it's made out of, the molecules, it is the Word. Go back and read Genesis. The trees, the lumber, is the Word. Did y'all ever think about this? When Jesus was carrying the cross, did you ever think about He created the tree that He was crucified on? Now, not in His humanity, but the part of Him. I wonder if He thought, I remember when I made this tree. I know that's, don't write me no letters. I'm trying to teach. Everything is the Word. And that's why I like to say, we have got to come to this revelation for revival. The reason everything will respond to the Word is because at its core, it is the Word. Now that's everything that is. Now wait till I finish. Even cancer. Now what's happened? Does the devil create anything? No, he doesn't create anything. He perverts everything. So what he has done, he has perverted, corrupted creation through manipulation. And it's because of the fall of man. Everything goes back to Adam and the sin and the fall and all of that, where that curse came on the ground. But let's get back to the Word now. See, Jesus came. He says, my words, they are spirit. They are life. The reason there's life on the inside of you is you heard and believed His words. That's it. You heard and believed His words. And the power of those words quickened you from death to life. Look at Matthew 24, verse 35. I'm so glad I can still hear pages turning and not just fingers tapping on glass. Although at the early service, I was doing that too. Praise God. One reason when you get a little older, now this is a bad confession, but I'm just, anyway, you're my family. When you get a little older, you can change the font on those iPads really big. I am becomes I am, you know, anyway. I go, yeah, hallelujah. Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, we go through life. We spend our life on what's important. I grew up in the construction business. Now, don't get me wrong. We're supposed to be good stewards and diligent at our work and all that kind of thing. But see, if you go through life and it's... Now, just take the patios. My dad and I were in the concrete business, but it was mainly landscaping. We built swimming pool decks and fountains and really pretty stuff, you know, decorative concrete. And it was nice. Hard work. Nice. But you spend your whole life and really look back on your accomplishments. You know, maybe you did a lot more than, I'm just thinking about what my dad and I did, you know, and concrete, that's pretty durable. Man, that'll last a while, you know. Yeah. But every bit of that is going to burn up with a fervent heat. The elements are going to melt away. And it's going to be a new earth that has no memory of any concrete I ever poured. But yet I did give a little attention in life to the Word. I gave it a little attention. Go by and dust it off on the coffee table. Y'all know I do more than that, right? Isn't it amazing how we give our life to that which is not eternal? Do you know the next world? You know what's still going to be there? His Word. Isn't that what he just said? Heaven and earth will pass away. There's going to be a new heavens, a new earth, but my words shall not pass away. That's why you'll still be born again there. About Tuesday, that's going to hit you, and you're going to have a running fit. I said, my goodness, his words are alive. They're alive. I know this is basic. I'm going to look at two places, two witnesses. Go to Titus chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 6. You know that prayer, set a watch on my lips, works. Titus chapter 1, look at verse 2. We live in this hope. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God, now here it is, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. When Dave would teach on this, he would go to lengths. Sometimes I'd almost like, oh, come on, Dave, let's move on to the next point. But he would stay there because we don't really get it. See, if it said God that does not lie, that would be strong enough, really. But it doesn't say that. See, we, each one of us knows that we can. We can lie. We could choose to lie. Now, we shouldn't, as Christians, of course. But we do know that we have the capacity. But what this verse is saying, and Dave would just try, he would just drag it out. He says, no, you don't understand. He can not lie. He can not lie. I'm going to go ahead and use this illustration because it's coming back to me. Alan mentioned it this morning. You know, we're supposed to go pray for the sick. Believers lay hands on the sick and they recover, okay? But if you really go back and look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like that time they prayed for the epileptic or the boy with seizures, lunatic boy, they prayed for him and he didn't get healed. Did Jesus give him an attaboy? There's actually people here, believe it or not. Did Jesus give him an attaboy?
No.
Well, I'm so glad you prayed and nothing happened. Is that what he said?
No.
He was upset. Now, you read that in your Bible. That is not like, well, bring him here to me. You bring that boy here to me. He was upset. And for years, well, he still haven't got to this, but for years it kind of, wow, you know. Like that any other time, he said, let's go over to the other side. And he takes a nap. He's asleep. Well, he's asleep. And I mean, this storm comes and it's bad. They think they're going to die. And these are experienced fishermen that have made their living on that same sea. They know that sea. They've been through storms. When they think they're going to die, I think it's a pretty bad storm.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're bailing and whatever, I don't know if it's a sailing ship, you know, Avastia matey, Ar, Baal. I mean, I could just imagine, you know. And he says, Master, don't you care? We're going to die here. And he gets up and he says, boy, I appreciate you guys working so hard. Man, you guys are really, man, look at all that bailing and everything you've been doing. I really appreciate all that. Is that what he did? He gets up. He stops the storm. Peace, be still. I don't ever want to hear this from him, but anyway. It's interesting the prophecies that came before this service and in this message, because I don't ever want to hear what he said to them. He didn't say, how come you have little faith? He said, how is it that you have no faith? And I can just see Peter, and here's the 12. They're drenched. They're exhausted. They've been working all night trying to get through this storm. I know, nowadays we'd be giving them awards and a trophy for showing up. Well, you're special. You're special. Award for you. You showed up. You know. How is it you have no faith? And I couldn't get that for the longest time. And do you know what's connected to that verse? He cannot lie. See, now I'm gonna, here's the picture I'm going to try. Jesus lives and he, God help. Jesus is truth. He is from truth. The words he gave us are truth. He can't change them. He can't water them down. He can't pet your little emotions to when you don't believe it. He has no choice but to give us the truth. When he says, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, he means it. He means it. And he can't patty cake our unbelief. He says, this is the truth. Repent and believe the gospel. That's revival when that happens. That's Alan walking like he's supposed to be walking. That's Gary laying hands on the sick and they recover. That's whatever it is you're believing for. And that's Tulsa is in revival. Amen? He can't change. That's why we can. Thank God we can. Now, he was trying to get this across to me. Let me give you two. I had two witnesses. God cannot lie. Now, look at this other one. Hebrews 6:18. Yes, sir. Hebrews 6:18. And I don't normally lift verses, just single verses out, but in order to get where we're going, I have to today. I just want you to have these two verses. First one is that God cannot lie. Now look at this one. That by two, this is Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. One of the prophecies that came at the beginning of the service. Yea, I will help thee. But you're going through something awful. And it sure doesn't look like you're getting help. Something's lying. Your circumstances are lying, or God is lying. The enemy's real good at bringing circumstances that make it appear that God is lying. Here, I'm thinking Daniel right now. Daniel was so a man of prayer. Three times a day he would pray and bow down. He'd open the window and bow down to his God. Nebuchadnezzar comes and says, no, no, you got to bow down to me. You got to bow down to this idol that I've built. And if you don't, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. Actually, somebody else kind of ratted David out to him. But anyway, here's your choice, David. Quit praying to your God, or we're going to feed you. You're going to be lion food tonight. We're going to feed you to the lions. David says, well, I'm not bound down to any other God. I believe God is true no matter what. Put me in the lion's den, doesn't matter. He goes in that lion's den and uses lions for a pillow. Well, oh, that's a nice fluffy lion. Ooh, it's a good lion right there. I like that. Get a little cold, you pull another lion on for a blanket. Probably didn't get cold, but he comes out the next morning. Even the king was a little concerned, you know. Has thy God saved thee? Fear not. Hallelujah. And his accusers became the lion food. See, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to bow down three times a day. I pray to my God. What's your reward? Lions. That's not really your reward. That's what the enemy brings, circumstances, to make you believe that you wasted your time spending your life praying to your God. Your God says, I will help you. Your God says, I will bless you. Your God says, I will uphold you with my right hand. And I don't care what the circumstances look like. I'm thinking about the Hebrew children went through that fiery furnace. They stoked that thing so hot that the people that threw them in died. And they're looking at, I don't know how they looked in that furnace, but, you know, somehow they could look in. And, you know, I said, I thought we put three men in there. We did. I see a fourth man. You know, another word that Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He says, I see a fourth man and it looks like the Son of God. Come out without even smell of smoke. That's what's going to happen with Alan. Amen. He's going to step out like without even the smell of smoke on him. What a ministry. What he's done for me, he'll do for you. Amen. No matter you, I'm preaching myself happy here. Glory to God. Did you get it? God cannot lie. And it is impossible for God to lie. Not one word that Moses spoke failed them. And let me tell you right now, not one word Jesus spoke will ever fail you. You got that? So I was trying to believe God. Now I'm going to use myself, make it easy on you. These are in the days when I was smoking like a freight train, knew that I shouldn't be. Dave would kill me and resurrect me week after week. First he'd kill me. Are you going to let a little 3-inch stick of tobacco weed dominate your life and control you? And I'm thinking, yeah. He says, it won't send you to hell, but it'll make you smell like you've already been there. And I go, I know. And when Sue and I first came, we couldn't even make it through one service. We couldn't even make it through. We couldn't make it about 20 minutes, you know. And we'd sneak out the door and, of course, go down the hill over here behind the trees. Okay, get our fix. And we're on the way back. And, of course, Sue's all concerned about everybody smelling the smoke. And so she had these little Febreze bottles, you know. Pachoo, pachoo, pachoo. Man, she'd be Febrezing me all the way back to the church, you know. And she's on this side. Pachoo, pachoo. I mean, Febreze is running out my left ear, you know. And I'm going, baby, they can still smell it. I don't care. Pachoo, 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 man. We try and make it another 20 minutes. Knowing in my head, knowing what the word says, that I'm free. I mean, I remember I would smoke and read Romans 6. How shall we continue in sin? And I'd go, I don't know. Puff, puff, you know. Trying to understand this, you know. Never justified it. Always knew it was wrong. Okay. And Dave, he'd kill me 1 week. Are you going to let... Then the very next week, he'd resurrect me. He'd say, God will walk through hell with you. He'll walk through hell with any person with their faults as long as they don't start saying those faults are not sin when they are. And as long as they keep doing those things, and he means the message, prayer, fasting, the word, all of those things, that will one day spell out his freedom. God will walk through hell with you. And I'm going, yeah. Walk with me, Jesus. Puff, puff. Now we're finally to it. Trying to get this across to me one day, or a long time ago, he just asked me a simple question. Now, don't get mad at me. He said, does 2 + 2 = 4? I thought it was a trick question. And I'm going, yeah? Yeah. 2 + 2 = 4. He says, you don't believe it. What? Sure, I believe it. 2 + 2 = 4. He said, no, you don't believe it because that's truth. And Gary, you don't believe truth. And I'm going, what? What? He said, my word is truth. You say you believe it. I'm going to get worse on you. Are you okay? Sue, go start the car, baby. This could get ugly. This could get ugly right about here. He said, here's what you're saying, Gary. Not to me. Because what you're saying back to me when you say my word, like you're not free from sin, what you're saying to me is 2 + 2 = 4 for everybody else. But it's not for me. Your word is true for everybody else, but I'm special. That was hard. The promise is the same for every single person, he would tell me. You know what? He gave me one word for that, for all that attitude. You know what it was? Pride. We think we're being so humble. And he says it's just flat unbelief. It's pride. You don't believe. He says, in the natural, yeah, he says you'll believe 2 + 2 = 4 and you'll go build a house with that knowledge. In other words, mathematics. But you go to my word, which is truth, way more. Did you know that? Now, this is just extra. See, in Newtonian physics, where we live, 2 + 2 = 4. But if you get down to the subatomic level, what they call like quarks and quantum theory, did you know 2 + 2 doesn't make 4 there? Y'all didn't know that. Really, it doesn't. Did you know in Newtonian physics, a thing cannot exist in two places at the same time? Did you know in quantum physics they can? See, I would think that the more we broke down the building blocks of where we live, the more basic we got, the more stable it would become. The exact opposite is true. The more chaotic it becomes. Then we try and figure out God. Which, wherever he is so far beyond even quantum mechanics. I asked him one time, well, yeah. I said, how come all them beasts got 6 eyes? Y'all remember that? Beasts, and they got 6 wings, don't they? How come they got all them? He says, they need them here. That's all he said to me. I'm going. I'm going. One. We don't know what that realm is, but see, that's the realm of truth. That realm is way more real. Well, way more. It is ultimate real. We're the less real. By definition, the creator is less than the... No, the createe is less than the creator. The natural realm was produced from the spirit realm. Which one is more real? Spirit realm. And that's where Jesus is from. That's where Jesus came from. That's where his knowledge is from. And he will not, cannot, impossible for him to alter it, change it, water it down. All he can do is tell us, believe it. And then he sent us a helper to help us believe it. See, and this is part of the problem. This is why I so appreciate the ministry of Pastor Dave all these years. Because I have... Have you figured it out yet? Intellect is not enough. Intellect is not enough. This is not mind power. This is spirit power. And we need a teacher from that realm of truth to help us digest and process truth at a realm way deeper than intellect. So 2 + 2, he says, 2 + 2 = 4. He said, no. So I was saying, he was telling me now, don't get mad at me. This is just a lesson I had with him a long time ago. He said, Gary, you're walking in pride. You're letting your flesh dictate your doctrine. You don't believe you're free because you don't feel free. Yeah. He says, you check your... Oh God, I didn't know he was going to go here. He said, you look in your checkbook to see if you have enough resources. That seems odd to him. He says, why don't you look in Matthew 6? You remember Matthew 6? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things. What things? The things the whole world spends their whole life running after. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What are we going to drink? He says, why don't you look there? How about Philippians 4:19? My God shall supply all your need. Why don't you look there? And I said, no, you don't know what you don't want to know what I said. Well, I said, because I can't spend those. I can't take Philippians 4:19 to the bank and do anything with it. I thought about it. Y'all don't ever talk to God like that. I know. I said, well, that's why I look in my checkbook. They don't care about no Philippians 4:19. They don't care about that at all. I need a boat. What are you going to give for payment? Philippians 4:19. I'm telling you, it ain't going to work now. It just isn't going to work. Oh, telling on myself. Yes, sir. All right, here's another example from Gary and Sue. I would have sworn in court under penalty of 10 years in prison, if you had asked me, is God your provider, or in the early days, I would have sworn in court on a stack of Bibles that tall with my hand in the name of Jesus. Alan would have too. We have the similar testimony. God is my provider. And I would have said, I believe it. And I, with all that I had in me, I was telling the truth. And God's looking, poor boy. You think you believe, you know. So, now, God doesn't lead everybody the same path. Please, I tell everyone all the time, please don't do what we did unless God tells you. You need to follow your path with Him. I'm just giving you our testimony. But because of where He was calling us, it was important that we did learn that He was our provider because of the path He was going to put us on. So I like to say it like this. It's like He gently and little by little, He moved us out onto this limb of this tree and then cut the tree off from the limb. And we didn't have any resources at all. I had no, because of what He instructed us to do, had no income from a job. I had no income from a church. We had no ministry. We had no nothing. He says, who's your provider? Real timidly, little weak voice. You. I'm hoping it's you. Aren't you the big man of faith? Yeah. Till the creditors start calling. Yeah. It got so bad, I finally said, Sue, just don't answer the phone. Because I'd be gone a lot. You know, she'd have to. They're not nice. Have y'all? They're not nice. I mean, they're brutal. Don't answer the phone, baby. I'll deal with it. You know. And we had those Bible studies. And see, the thing, we want to learn that lesson in 2 days. Alan, am I telling the truth? I like how Alan says it. God, I hate this faith stuff. Just give me $1 million and that'll suffice us, you know. And I hate this faith stuff. I'll just pay my bills and serve you. Just give me $1 million. And one day he says, or just give me one big donor. And God says, I did. Him. You can't take that to the bank either, though, can you? We want this whole thing to be over in 2 days. Well, this went on for several years. Then he gives us instructions. Start having people over for Bible study. Okay. And now I want you to serve them refreshments. I remember that one time, and that's been a long time ago. If you hear these testimonies on an earlier tape and earlier message and the details are different, that one's more correct. I'm doing my best. I just remember we had like probably $5 or less. We had very few dollars. Sue went to Big Lots, as I remember. What do you get for 30 people that are coming with under $5? Well, they had a big sale that day on ginger snaps, and neither one of us are crazy about ginger snaps, but they had these big, I never saw a bag so big of ginger snaps in my life. Looked like a, you know those bags of dog food you bring home? It looked like that. You know? Big bag of ginger snaps. And a box of tea, you know, that little tea, you know? Sue says I might be exaggerating just a little bit. Not too much. It was a big, I never saw another bag. It was a big bag. For under $5. And my prayer, oh yeah, I was a real man of faith. Oh God, please don't let them shut the electricity off until after everybody goes home. And you want to, see, I would have sworn in the beginning that I already had this faith. I would have sworn God's my provider. And I mean, I would have, in a court of law, I would have put my hand on a Bible and sworn to it. But it's one thing to have intellectual knowledge of the Word. It's another thing to have him come in. Like that prophecy at the beginning, open the door, sit down, fellowship with you. And you begin to know him. It took several years. These are the days when I describe it as these are the days when money was staying away in great abundance. We have gone back and tried to put paper, pen and pencil to, you know, to try and figure out how we survive. You can't make it work on paper at all. Let me tell you this. Those creditors, we paid every debt. Now, we paid a lot of interest because we got behind on stuff. But we have never in our life not paid a bill. Did you hear that? We paid our bills. The Lord is faithful. During that time and another time, my credit got so bad. See, before all this, we had really good credit rating. We were careful about our credit rating. We had it really good. And during that time and then another time that I've told you about before, boy, our credit rating went through the... Well, it got bad. And I was doing like Dave said one day. I was kind of one of those days, you know, where your lower lip is interfering with the gas pedal while you're driving. And I was whining something like this to God, you know. I used to have excellent credit rating before I started serving you. Now obeying you's ruined my credit. Some wonderful faith statements like that. You know what he said to me? He said, you continue to obey me, and I will take care of your credit rating. He did what he said. But the neat thing is, we got all that credit rating and no loans. And don't plan on having any loans. I remember you remember I didn't obey him when he first told me to leave the trucks? You know what my big rational, intellectual, solid argument with him was? God, I got a car payment. I also put this part in, and I have a wife that has an eating habit. God, my wife wants to eat every day, and a lot of days more than once. I'm exaggerating again. But the car payment thing was real. I was like, God, I got this car payment. I can't obey you. Did we get behind on it? Uh-huh. Yeah. Just what I greatly feared came upon me, if you'll allow me. Did you know, though, we paid off every debt? Now, this is just, I'm not saying this will happen for anybody else. I'm sharing my testimony. My big fear, oh, I got this car payment. From that day till now, once that car there was paid off, and that was in 1995, 2016, we have never had another car payment. He's always provided our cars. I'll tell you another one, though. We've never sold a car. Now, we don't sell a car to get a car. He sowed Jesus to provide all my cars. He is the seed that's been sown. Got that? I did have to sell one time to a friend who wouldn't let me give it to him. Remember that? He wouldn't let me, so I had to come down a little bitty price. Okay, fine. But anyway. 2 + 2 = 4. The message, one word from God. We have to get it through our heads. God cannot lie. Jesus did not lie to us. When Alan said that today, when we pray for people and they don't get healed, we don't have a pass. Jesus would not give us an attaboy. Quiet in here now. Now, am I saying don't pray for them? I think we should all listen to God. And if you get any unction at all, you should pray for them. But I believe Jesus cannot change the truth. And here's the truth. You ready for truth? Believers shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now for Gary, not you, for Gary, that means if Gary's laying hands on the sick and they die, Gary does not believe. Regardless whether I put my hand on a Bible in court or not and say I do, the truth is I don't. Jesus said, believe me or else believe me for the very work's sake. And if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. What if that was the litmus test for all ministry? Go to, I didn't write that one down. Give me a second. There it is. Hebrews 4. Y'all getting anything out of this? What he's doing, he's encouraging us. Listen, his word is true. Now, we're in the Newtonian physics world. His word is true, like 2 plus 2 is 4 is true. It's not going to change. You might as well believe it. And if it's not happening, let's fess up, like I had to with the cigarettes. At that time, okay, I don't believe. But I'm working on the part of me that doesn't believe until I do believe. And Dave told me the truth. I kept praying. I kept a little bit of fasting. I kept in the word. I kept confessing. I kept doing those things. And bless God, the day came. And the word didn't change. I changed. And that was more than a decade ago, thank God. Well, the day's going to come, I'm telling you, because truth is truth and it cannot change. Every person in the sound of my voice, if you continue on this path, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And I mean every time. And I mean first time. And I mean no exceptions, just like Jesus. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly, boldly, boldly. You're not a worm sliding into his. Remember that prophecy again at the beginning. I didn't know all this was going to happen exactly. But that prophecy at the beginning, he says, I have rooms. Knock and you can have entry. Well, this is a great room. This is the throne of grace. He says, come boldly into this throne of grace. And look what you're going to get. That we may obtain mercy. Remember what he said about my mercies are new every morning? I like how the other way he said it. I have new mercy for you today. How about if I said it this way? I have freshly minted mercy. Freshly. What does new mean? His mercies are new. Fresh. Minted. Created for you today. Well, mercy doesn't even have a definition unless you need it. Isn't that right? Isn't, like, by definition, mercy is for somebody who needs it? So first thing you get is mercy, not judgment. Somebody took your judgment. His name is Jesus. That would be good enough. But he doesn't end there. And grace to help. Grace to help in your time of need. Now, this next part's deep unto deep. I really don't know if you're ready for this. You might need to grab a hold of your chair or something, okay? Steady yourself. See, because grace, by definition, means. You ready? You don't deserve it. Did you get that? Get over yourself. By definition, grace is for people that don't deserve it. Did you know it says to the humble he gives more grace? This is not a one-time thing when you got saved. This story always comes to my mind right here. When I was a little boy, and we still lived in Shawnee, Oklahoma, so I had to be about 4 years old. And we were playing some of my buddies with a stick and a rock out in the backyard. We were just hitting the ball, they'd throw it, and we'd hit it. And I accidentally hit a foul ball and knocked out the neighbor's upstairs window, broke it, shattered it. Here I am 4 or 5 years old. My daddy comes home. He was not pleased. He didn't give me a whooping, but he instructed me where we could play and how we could point the stick and hit it where we did not break out neighbor's windows. He also said, if I remember right, he already had a bat and a ball. He said, perhaps you should use that. Anyway, he corrected me. Your father will correct you. But then, get this. You talk about grace to help. He didn't expect a four-year-old child to climb up a ladder to the second story window and tear out the old broken glass and reglaze that window. Now, he corrected me, He sent me out to play with my friends while my daddy took care of the problem. That's grace to help. That's where he brings his power to your problem that you caused, that by all rights you ought to have to fix. But he'll fix it if you learn to trust him. Is that good stuff? Is that good stuff or what? By definition, you don't deserve it. We all have to accept that. And you're not an exception to the rule. Pride wants you to think, you know, I'm special. No, I have different circumstances. No, I'm this, I'm that. We all could say that. You didn't go what I went through, and I didn't go what you went through. But he went through all of it for all of us. This word is true for you. 2 + 2 is for you like it is for anybody else. And his word is for you like it is for anybody else. Quit saying it doesn't apply to you. Now, it may take you a while to walk free of stuff like it did me. I tell you this much, if I'd have known then what I know now, it would not have taken nearly as long. But I know more now. Thank God. Shouldn't we know more as we go along? Listen to Nathan 101. It'll help you. None of us deserves God's grace. One more verse. Romans 4:16. See, again, I keep seeing that image of Jesus walking from the realm of truth, full of the Word, walking from that realm with the Father through the wall, if you'll allow me, to this realm. And he says, I have words for you. Remember in John 17, he says, Father, the words that you gave me, I have given them. And what he's doing is telling us truth from the realm of truth. We have to believe it. Because nothing here makes it look like what he's saying is true. But his truth will change your facts. That truth will change our facts if we believe it. Not one word from God will ever fail if we believe it. Romans 4:16, talking about the faith of Abraham. Because it's a cop-out to say, well, I know, but... Now, I'm going to just use common stuff. I've been in ministry a long time. Common stuff I hear. My daddy molested me. My daddy killed himself when I was little. My mama did this. I was abandoned. I was an orphan. Pick your problem and get over yourself. Now, I know you have different paths than I have. I have different paths than you have. I have to get over stuff like you got to get over stuff. The truth of the matter is, he's not interested in healing that person. That person died in Christ. You are a new creature. That person, if you're waiting around for that inner healing stuff, I was real nice right there. You just don't know how nice I was. Inner healing stuff. That's psychology and psychiatry, and it's better than no help at all, I guess, but it's far short of what God has done for you. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You don't need to be healed. You need to walk as who you really are. For years, I thought I was just that same old sinner saved by grace. That was so pounded in me growing up, it took forever and 3 days to get over it. Boy, I don't believe that anymore. It's getting to where my thinking is like this. When I walk in the room, darkness has to flee. That's who I am. Devils, when Jesus would show up, just show up, those devils inside that madman of Gadara, they begin to cry and fall on their knees. They knew what it had. Light showed up. They were in trouble, and they knew they were in trouble. Man, I got to go on here. Hallelujah. None of us deserves God's grace. None of us. But look at Romans 4:16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. See, if you don't ever develop faith to receive from his grace, you're not helped. Faith says, yes, if you're offering that, I'll take it. Thank you very much. I don't deserve it, but I'm taking it anyway. Because you provided it by grace. I'm the most undeserving. Thank you very much. I'll take it. It's mine. I like what Lily said that time. It's mine. I keep it. I keep it. You gave it to me. I keep it. Gave me health. I keep it. Never did finish our prosperity thing. So after several years, yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, right, I remember so many nights, and I would have, I know Alan would have too. We would have testified in court. We believe those scriptures. He is my provider. I could have quoted them to you. I had them in my head. I could have quoted them to you. And then at night, catch myself worrying. Can't go to sleep. Probably had three talks with the bill collector that day. They're not nice. They said some ugly things to me. Laying there. And finally, it's like the Holy Spirit somehow would make it through all of that doubt. Said, why are you worried? Well, this bill is due and that bill is due. And this has my word changed? No. Why are you worried? What are you believing? Sure is quiet in this church. What are you believing? What do you really believe? But I'm telling you, over time, this took years. It took years. But over time, even my soul, he would deliver us. Now, it was time and again, right? Benny, I heard Benny Hinn say this one time. He says, God always delivers you right before you die. Now, that's not really true, okay? But it seems that way to us, okay? So it seems that way to us. But even my own soul would watch him deliver us again and again. I could stand here and take hours just telling you that just the things off the top of my head I could remember. People would bring us buckets of KFC. Had no idea what was going on. We're sitting at the dinner table with the plate set out with the forks and nothing to put on them. And the doorbell would ring and somebody brought KFC. Don't ever tell me KFC is not of God. No, I'm telling you. It is when you don't have anything else to eat. I'm telling you right now. One time somebody brought in a whole dinner that they cooked. And they had no idea. And they just brought this whole dinner, you know. And we were nice. We invited them to eat with us. I mean, but time after time. That couple that came with a Texaco card. You know, this is a long time ago. When was the last time you saw a Texaco? Anyway, that was big then. Brought a Texaco card. Said, God told us to let you use this card. Well, when am I supposed to give it back to you? They hadn't even thought about that. They looked at each other and said, well, he told us when to bring it. I guess he'll tell us when to come get it. If I remember right, that was like a year later. Long time. We were real faithful, too. You know, they do sell bread and all kinds of stuff. No, they said use it for gas, and we used it for gas. Walk in here and pay, looking at the bread. No, yeah, got to be a good steward. Okay, man. Now I got to say this sentence to you. See, grace. Let me read that verse again. Romans 4:16. It is of faith. That it might be by grace. See, unless you develop faith, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You're going to have to hear his word, make up your mind that God cannot lie, that it's impossible for him to lie. Then by faith, you access what has already been given you free by grace. That is the process. No matter what it is, healing, finances, salvation, your kids, your job, whatever. We have to accept that. We are not special in the sense of we're not an exception to that rule. What he says is true for you. 2 + 2 = 4 for everybody. There's no exceptions. None of us deserve God's grace. And now get this. Faith receives because. Why does faith receive? Because God cannot lie. Not because you're good. It's because he cannot lie. Not one word will fail you. As I was preparing this message, I was hearing this, and I just wrote down what I heard. And I'm going to look, I guess, into the camera. But he's speaking to everybody. There's some of you, you need to focus on one word till it becomes bone of your bone. For some of you, it would be, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. That needs to become so you. And when it does, you're going to be a changed person. You are forgiven. Another one is where he says to you, I will remember your sins no more. That one word will change you. I've been given testimonies about this one, this word. It's Matthew 6. I will provide for you. If you put his kingdom first and seek his righteousness first, you have it in the red letters. All these things will be added. Say, well, I lost my job. He's got another job. Well, they took away my car. He's got another car. We've got to develop that kind of attitude with him. Now, this one especially, because this, you remember that verse we read, Hebrews 4:16? Let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. He worded it to me like this, and I'm going to say it to you. Focus on this word till it becomes bone of your bone, where he says to you, I will help you. What are you going through? Well, it's big. Yours is different than yours, and yours is different than hers. But for each and every one of us, 2 + 2 = 4. And he says, I will help you. Grace to help. Grace to help in your time of need. Now, he's bringing us to a place. Be turning to Luke 10. I know I'm running a little long today, but I think it's good for us, and I think he wants us all in one message. So, only another hour. No. Hallelujah. Thank you. He's bringing us to a place of maturity. Here's some things I heard in my spirit. These are words, you know, like focus on this until it becomes part of you. For Gary, maybe for you too. Well, for you too. Here's where he's saying. Maturity, growing up. Speak only my will. Speak only my will. If we do that, then the next one comes into play. I will manifest the word you speak. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You get to the place where you speak his will, his word, his mind all the time. Do you remember where it says, the Lord, the disciples went everywhere preaching the word, the Lord working with, it says them, but that's in italics, the Lord working with and confirming the word. Was working with them, but only as they spoke the word. Hold up your hands. Focus on this word till it becomes part of you. Look at your hands. Say this. This is what God is saying. I will flow through your hands. That's it. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We've got to focus one word from God. If we just believe that one word, revival has come to Tulsa. This one, I heard this one, and that's the reason we're at Luke 10. He wants this word to become bone of our bone, if you'll allow me. You have authority over all devils. Did you find Luke 10? This is after the 70 returned. We'll start in verse 17. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, it's interesting in the King James that the word power occurs twice, but in the Greek language, it's two different words. When he says, behold, I give unto you power, that is the Greek word exousia, and it literally means authority. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, that word power is dunamis, and it means raw power, like that's where we get our word dynamite from. So he's saying, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, for years, I didn't get this quite because our daughter Erin, for years, was a policewoman. And at the time, she weighed like 105 pounds. She was so little, the police belt, you know, they got all this stuff on that belt. You know, you got a radio and a baton and a pistol and I don't know what all. I mean, she could barely, she was wall-to-wall stuff because her little, you know, little tiny thing, what I'm saying. But she had on that uniform that represents all of the power of the city of Tulsa. And if she's, now you could have a bus that weighs, how many tons does that bus weigh? And does it have dunamis? Does it have power? But here comes this little slip of a girl, 105 pounds, step out in front of a megaton bus. And she raises up her hand and says, stop! That bus better stop. Now, see, here was my problem. I went, Lord, that only works for law-abiding buses. He says, you're making that mistake of not keeping everything in context. Back up. Back up. What did the 70 say when they got back? What did they say? Even the devils are... He says, the authority that I gave you. I'm going to read exactly the way he said it. Your authority over demonic power makes them subject unto you in my name. His name is the police uniform. You'll allow me? All the power of heaven backs up his name. Bless God when you stand out in front of it. Now here we come now. It'll never change. If it's a demonic thing, some kind of demonic, whether it's sickness, craziness, whatever it is, if it's demonic, in his name, you have authority over whatever power that thing has. And in his name, that is subject to you. And it doesn't have a choice. It's not a matter of whether it's a law-abiding devil or not. I'm telling you right now, they're not law-abiding. Dave says one time, why do you think those devils scream when they come out? They're not leaving voluntarily. The Holy Ghost. He said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, another place by the Spirit of God, it's the Holy Ghost backing up that authority, see? And we've got to get it straight. Say it with me. In the name of Jesus, all demons are subject to me. Amen? And it doesn't, it's not a matter of a law-abiding bus. No. They will obey, or the Holy Ghost will drag them off. They have no choice. You got that? Say it with me. Not one word will ever fail. Not one word of God will ever fail. God cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. And every word of God prospers in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.